I'm going to start today's service with a warning label. On this message and any future ones where the first word is foundations, dash whatever title, this is your warning label. You might want to preview that first, okay? But still yet, I'm going to do my absolute best to keep the messages PG, you know. All right. So many good things. It was a great conference. There was things taught that I've never heard before. I think I said a few things I've never said before. I'll just tell you this. Now, much of the ministry at conference, more ministry happens away from the services, at least in this one, than in the services. The teaching anointing, I thought, was just spectacular. And he's bringing us to another level of walk. And if you didn't hear them or if you only heard them once, I plan on listening to each one of them again where I can sit and take notes. You know, it's hard for me to run up there and say, Jim, stop, wait. I'm not going to make some notes. Jim, okay, go ahead now. But it was really good. I will say a few things because I loved it. I hope we never have another one like it again. Yeah. Well, what do you mean, Gary? Better. Well, better. But in this way, I mean, where the blind see, the lame walk, the deaf hear, the maimed are made whole while we watch. First time, every time, no exceptions. Now, he's getting us there. In fact, I've got a few prophecies that things he said recently that if he allows me, I'm going to read because they were going through me this morning when I woke up. Hallelujah. I have a very specific assignment today, and I don't think I've exactly ever taught this lesson before. And also this morning, three prophecies, and I didn't hear them complete, but there was enough of them running through my spirit where I knew which ones they were. And I looked them up on the computer. And yes, sir. One other thing I need to tell you before we start that. Ministry that did go on. And sometimes you don't hear the report till later. I know someone that had cancer was here, and the fishermen prayed for them. And they haven't had a chance to go back to the doctor yet. How many expects a different report? Amen. I expect a different report. Yeah. And I only briefly mentioned this to Hans, but the service that Hans did, some people got filled with the Holy Ghost. And there was one lady that got, sometimes you got to be stirred up, okay? I'm not going to go into details. Precious lady, and Sue and I had the opportunity to go with her and her friend to lunch the day before, where she's telling us all of this, and I won't go into detail. Wonderful, sweet, precious, God-loving ladies. And Hans is up here ministering to her, and her friend that we went to lunch with us is sitting over there close to us, okay, where we sit. Hans is reading her mail. Everything that we talked about the day before, he is saying it like he had been with us the day before. Her friend kept looking at me like, did you tell him? I didn't say nothing. I didn't tell him anything. We haven't spoken at all. He's getting... There was somebody else here. His name's the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. I just want you to know supernatural things were going on, but not to the level we're going to see. We're going to see a lot higher. In fact, I'll just go ahead and read you this one now. This prophecy came this year on August 15th, and it says, fear not, little flock, fear not. It is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. I have loved you, and I love you still. You have sought me for years, asking for the highest walk. This is Alan's message this morning. We will not be diverted. We will not compromise. We will not lower the standard. We will not accept any other gospel but the one that Jesus taught. It's give us this gospel or give us death. I mean, that's where there's no other plan. There's no plan B. So and the Lord's saying, you have sought me for years for the highest walk. And I am lifting you up to that very place. Did you hear that? So yield to me even these last things as you are nearing the end of the wall of fire. Nearing the end of the purging. coming into the manifesting where it is true, soon and very soon, in every service and at your homes, and even at your business, you will see the King. What he means by that, we will see the manifestation. You will see the King as he does what he does. Is that impressive or what? I feel like I should read this part of the next one. And he's talking about the sin of the church today, my bride. I have to paraphrase a little because I'm not reading all of it. In some camps, it's similar to that of ancient Israel who fell into deep sin. Okay? In some camps, even in the, there's churches like that. But those of you who have endured the purging time have walked much more narrowly before me. And I am greatly pleased with that, says the Lord. You should be greatly pleased also, because it has spared you. It has spared you from the kind of judgment that Israel had to endure. But beyond, there is a higher walk that I am calling you to. I am calling you to the walk of my Son Jesus, to allow him to live his life through you. For he truly is the vine. You are the branch. And the fruit cannot appear on the vine without the branch. I am calling you now to seasons of transformation. This season of transformation now, to go from unbelief to belief. For if you will, excuse me, for he says, I want to read that again. I did the emphasis the wrong place. I am calling you now to this season of transformation. This season of transformation now, to go from unbelief to belief, for you will believe me. The Lord said that. You will believe me. I have more faith in you than you have in me. You are my hope in the earth. I do believe. I've heard him. I do believe you will walk in the truth of my gospel. Let's agree with God. We will walk in the truth of your gospel. We agree with you, God. Then he says, I do believe I have found a group. No, he said, I do believe I have found the group, not only in this building, but I have found a group of people who will believe me and allow my life to flow through you as the branch into this earth, so that those who know me not, they cannot rear up and say, well, the church is no better than us. The church is no different than us. So they cannot stand up arrogantly and say there is no God. They must see. They must see the demonstration of the living God through you, says the Lord. And that's where he's moving us. It's Joel's army. He's talking about you. Last one of these. I am moving you from... This one came this year on August 22nd. I am moving you from knowledge to power, says the Lord. How many want that? Now, obviously, he's still giving us knowledge. I heard Jim say things... I've listened to every message that Jim Martin and Bronk Flint have taught for over 20 years. I've listened. I haven't missed one. I heard things out of both of them I've never heard before. He's still increasing our knowledge. I'm almost like Alan said, I'm almost afraid to miss worship now. You know, because I'm understanding what it does now and how involved the Lord is with it. If you didn't hear those messages, all of them, you need to hear those. Okay, I'm going to start again. This one's only a few sentences long. I am moving you from knowledge to power, says the Lord. That's, now listen, that is the season we're in. He's moving us from knowledge, even though it's obvious he's still giving us knowledge, even this very week, but I'm moving you from knowledge to power. Say it with me. The next conference will not be like this conference. What has been is not
what shall be.
The next, I'm going to restart again. I am moving you from knowledge to power, says the Lord. I am moving you from theory to reality, says the Lord. I am moving you from an earthly understanding of even divine things to a divine understanding of earthly things. You shall enter into my rooms where I shall fellowship with you. And your soul is about to go through a transformation unlike anything you have ever seen before. Remember the cocoon? Remember the metamorphosis? Be no longer conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the metamorphosis of your mind? No, be you metamorphized by the renewing of the mind? Why? So that you can prove what is that? Prove. I have two oxen. I bought two oxen. I must go prove them. I'll see if they can get the job done or not. We're about to prove God's word. And it's going to get the job done. Then he says, even your natural mind is going to yield and begin thinking according to the instruction of my spirit. And your mind will bow to my knowledge and stop surrendering to yours. I could preach a mile right there, but that's not my assignment. Keep those in your mind. They're available at daveroberson.org in the prophecy section. These are all fairly recent. The earliest one I read to you was August 15th. The last one was August 22nd, so they're pretty close. Hans has three in a row, and I believe that's August 29th. Maybe. It's one of them 29ths. Three in a row came through him. That is, it's God speaking from heaven, telling you right now. Now to my assignment for today. Hallelujah. You can put a marker in Psalms 11. We're going to read it all later, but for right now, I'm just going to read one verse. And please don't read all of it right now. Just put a marker there if you want to. I need to have your attention up here. You can go ahead and open up to Matthew 19. I better mark that too in mine. I'm excited, I'll be honest. Well, I try and always be honest. It's just an expression, hopefully. But I'm more excited than I've ever been. I'm not discouraged by the crowds. I'm not discouraged. You know, I never heard one complaint about our building. I expected to hear it. I expected to hear something, you know, maybe from a new, you know, and how many first timers? There was a lot of first time people. Never heard a word, not a single complaint. Praise God. And if they'd have said anything, I'd have said, well, it's obvious we're not putting the money into the chandeliers. We're after something different than a good-looking building. Now, I'm not against good-looking buildings. Lord, have your way here, you know. But I really was kind of surprised. I never heard a word from any, even a new person. They were too captivated by what God was doing here. Psalms 11, verse 3. That's a very familiar verse. But it says, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? Now, I ask the Lord to help me. I am not going to talk politics today at all. If the Lord, He'll help me, because I want to. But He'll help me. We're just going to stick straight with the Bible and look at the foundations. Now, I did get another verse from him a while ago that I would like for you to see before I start. First Timothy chapter 6. I'm after a particular verse, verse 3, but for context, let's just start in verse 1. Let as many servants as are under the yoke count their own masters worthy of all honor, that the name of God and His what? The name of God and His doctrine be not blasphemed. And they that have believing masters, let them not despise them because they are brethren, but rather do them service because they are faithful and beloved, partakers of the benefit. These things teach and exhort. Now notice verse 3. If any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, then he defines what he's talking about. Even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ. If people will not consent to the teaching, the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness, what do we know about that man? He is proud, knowing what? Nothing. But doting about questions and strifes of words, whereof cometh envy and strife and railings and evil surmisings, perverse disputings of men. I've never been this mean, Paul. Perverse disputings of men. And by the way, if I make eye contact, it's just by coincidence. I'm not preaching at anybody. Perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds. Notice, if they will not yield to the teachings of the Lord Jesus Christ, they are destitute of the truth. And I don't care if they have PhD and DDS and DR and ABCDF. I don't care what they have behind their name. If they're saying what Jesus taught is wrong, they don't know anything. Their mind is corrupt. Many of them suppose that gain is godliness. And that's the subject here. Many people think that if you're rich, you've got to be blessed by God. What about the cocaine dealer in Mexico? What about the cartels? What about the drug traffickers? They're rich. From any that's supposing that gain is godliness, from such withdraw thyself. But godliness with contentment is great gain. I could go on and on. Now, for today's lesson, that's verse 3. If any man does not consent to wholesome words, and just so you know for sure what he's talking about, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness, then he goes into that whole list there. Now, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? God in divers manners and sundry times spoke in the past to us by the prophets, but hath in this last day spoken unto us by his Son. Whatever Jesus says, you can take it to the bank. Whatever Jesus says, you can hold on to that because it is truth. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. You want foundations? Look at the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. So now go to Matthew 19. And while you're turning there, let me kind of give you an idea of the direction of this, because I'm not just talking about the United States. We know from the book of Revelations, at the end, there is going to be a one world government. We know that. Can't stop it, because God's word has declared it. Okay? And it's not just in America, it's worldwide. Because the same principalities and powers and rulers of darkness, the same kind of things that's going on in America right now, we're kind of Johnny-come-lately to this, to be honest. It's been working in Europe for years. It's been working in major parts of the world for years. And the point is to destroy the foundations where even the righteous don't know what's truth and not truth anymore. And if you don't know the foundations, you're easily moved. See, the whole world can go to hell in a handbasket. But you won't. If you stand firm on the foundation and you hold fast to the words of our Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, sir. I'm trying to follow. I'm going to read when I can. Today, let's look at the wholesome words of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's find a foundation that we can set our rock on till you go home to be with heaven or until heaven comes here. Okay? That's Matthew 19. In these few short verses, let's see, three verses, 1, 2, 3, Jesus eliminates so much of the confusion in modern day America and modern day world. He eliminates it just so quick. Doesn't take him who is truth long to set the foundation of truth on anything. You ready? Matthew 19, starting in verse 3. The Pharisees also came to him, tempting him. They're trying to trip him up. And saying unto him, is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for every cause? Now that's King James, put away. He's just talking about divorce. Is it okay? Is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife for every cause? If you read history, you'll find out one of the 90% of the reason that Israel in the Old Testament got into apostasy and worshiping other gods, it was because they were divorcing their Jewish wives of their youth. And they were intermarrying. They just put them away. Because you could legally just put them away. You didn't iron my parka. Whatever they were. Anyway, you know what I'm saying. Any reason. Really, they could. And they'd marry these probably younger, you know, hot Canaanite wives or from other, in other words, non-Jews. And God had warned. And Solomon started that. Solomon started that ball rolling. And one of the main reasons God was so against, it's not a matter of racism at all. Never was. He tells you why. They will turn your hearts to worship other gods. And that is exactly what happened. Exactly what happened. And they were divorcing their wives, and it's still going on clear up here in Malachi, which was the last prophet of the Old Testament. You do know after Malachi, the voice of the Lord through a prophet was not heard for over 400 years. Malachi to John the Baptist. Isn't that something? But that's another day. Is it lawful? We're testing you, Jesus, because we know what the law says. Is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for every cause? And he answered and said unto them. Now he goes all the way back before the law. He goes back to the foundation. He goes all the way back to Genesis. Have you not read that he which made them at the beginning made them male and female? How many genders is that? Two. I don't see any other numbers after it. No other numbers after that. He made them male and female. Let's get that straight. How many genders did God make? Two. Now, I'm not against anybody that's going through anything and they feel they've heard a lot of stuff and maybe they have emotions and things that make them question it. But see, the Word of God is the unchanging foundation. There are only two genders. Now, there's all kinds of help for you. We love you. Jesus died for you. We're not against you, but we are for truth. There's only two genders. Look at it again. Here's truth talking. Truth with legs is speaking. I am the way. I am the truth. And I am the life. He that made them at the beginning made them male and female. Now, have we got that settled? We got that part settled? Okay, before I even get into this other part, male and female, there are only two genders. Number one, according to this, according to the Word of God, when is that determined? At birth is a good answer, but it's not really true. At conception. At conception, your gender was determined at that moment. And you either have two XX chromosomes or you have an XY chromosome. And you can go to take all the hormone shots you want. You can take all the different treatments you want. I've read stories. They have their breasts cut off. They have surgery on their private parts. But you cannot change your chromosomes. And even after all that is done and they put you on the cover of Playboy magazine as a male. I didn't buy the magazine, by the way. It was in the news. I got it off Charisma, okay? Okay, anyway. You can do all of that. Dress, have surgical change to be like the other sex. to have hormones to be like the other sex, to dress like the other sex, put makeup on or carry an axe if you're going the other direction. You know, like a lumberjack. Manly is what I'm trying to. Don't murder nobody. I'm talking manly. Okay. But you cannot, even after all that's done, you cannot change your chromosomes. And you're still either an XX or an XY. Now here's another thing you might not know. Your chromosomes are in every cell of your body. Every cell. You are XX from the top of your head to the soles of your feet, or you are XY from the top of your head to the soles of your feet. Man, how many words did it take for Jesus to establish the rock of truth? Just on that one item. We should count the words in that verse. But he doesn't stop there, because the question really was about divorce and marriage, wasn't it? Okay, we've got it settled so far. Now notice in the next verse. Verse 5. And, he's still talking. For this cause shall a what? Amen. Shall a what? Amen. Shall a man leave father and mother and shall cleave to his what? Wife. Do you think that's another man?
No.
Shall a man leave his father and mother and shall cleave to his wife? Notice it does not say girlfriend. It does not say mistress. Marriage was instituted by God. And I mean from the beginning. Why? Because family is the basic foundation building material of God Almighty. And this movement to a world government has got to destroy the family unit.
Yeah.
That's why it's going on. No matter the politics involved, no matter the people involved, let's go higher than that. The principalities and powers that are at work to bring about this one world government, I'm telling you, the family unit has to be destroyed. And they're doing you can just see it on every front. They're doing everything they can to destroy the family unit. How does it start now? Jesus is talking. For this cause shall a man leave father and mother and cleave unto his wife. Now just in case there's somebody out there still going, well, maybe that's another man. And they twain, the two of them, shall be one flesh. And still yet they might hang on to it. Let's keep going. Wherefore they are no more twain, but one flesh. What therefore God hath joined together, let not man put asunder. Now I've actually had this argument. This is not theoretical from people. He didn't say that could not be, the wife couldn't be another man. And they can be joined together too. Not the way God designed, but they can be joined together. How many are glad for all the Word of God? Keep your place there. Go over to Malachi. Okay? Malachi. He's talking about the same thing. He's talking about divorce, and they were putting away their wives then the same way. This is right near the end before Israel and Judah are completely destroyed forever because they would not repent. God, through the prophet Malachi, one last time is trying to call them to repentance and to call them back to Him. In this passage, we're not teaching on the whole passage, but it's talking about divorce. Verse 15, Malachi 2:15. And did not he make one? Yet had he the residue of the Spirit. Now here's the question. Wherefore one? Why did God design this husband and wife in a way that they could become one? You know what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the act of marriage. The most intimate thing that a husband and wife do. Why did God design them that way? What was God's purpose? What was His foundation? Why did He make them that way? That He might seek a godly seed. Children! You don't get that with a man and a man. Foundation. You get that with a man and a woman. That's what God intended. The family unit was designed by God. It is the foundational building block of society. It is the foundational building block of civilization. Children are to be raised. We know from this verse, children, God's plan all along, you're supposed to raise them in the knowledge of God. Now, I'm going to leave it up to them. They can be an atheist. They can be an agnostic. Well, they will, but they're going to do whatever they want to do. Your job, train them up in the way they should go, and when they're old, they'll not depart from it. They may rebel for a while, but they'll come back. Because the seed is in them. God was, He designed a man and a woman in a way that children could be born. This is foundational. This is God's plan. This is God's word, and it will never change. I'm going to read that to you out of another version here. Just give me a second. I don't recommend any version of the Bible except the King James Version and the Amplified. And I have, the Amplified comes below the King James. If I had to use another version, I myself would be like Alan, I'd probably use the New King James. But that doesn't mean I don't read other translations. I do. Better be grounded in the King James first. But I do read them, and sometimes they just say it better. Here's Malachi 2:15 out of the Amplified. In fact, can I just back up a little? I'm going to start in verse 13. This is just so good. They got the New Living Testament got it right in this passage. They don't know anything about Paul's thorn, but they got this right. I'm just telling you. Don't run out and buy one thinking it's... Anyway. King James, Amplified, real good. New King James, if you want to get rid of the these and the thous. But here it is. Here's God talking to the people there, He said, in verse 13, New Living Testament. Here is another thing you do. You cover the Lord's altar with tears, weeping and groaning because He pays no attention to your offerings, and He does not accept them with pleasure. And you cry out, well, why doesn't the Lord accept my worship? I'll tell you why. Because the Lord witnessed the vows you and your wife made when you were young. But you have been unfaithful to her, though she remained your faithful partner, the wife of your marriage vows. Didn't the Lord make you one with your wife? In body and spirit, you are His. And what does He want? Godly children from your union. So guard your heart. Remain loyal to the wife of your youth. One more verse. For I hate divorce. And the King James says, I hate putting away. I hate divorce, says the Lord, the God of Israel. To divorce your wife is to overwhelm her with cruelty, says the Lord of heaven's armies. So guard your heart. Do not be unfaithful to your wife. Now, sometimes divorces are necessary. God hates divorce. God hates a lot of things on planet Earth that happens. He doesn't like miscarriages. He doesn't like murders. He doesn't like car accidents that kill people. There's a lot of things that happen. And just because I read this, you've got to keep it in the context of the times they were divorcing their wife to marry normally a younger wife from one of the surrounding peoples that God said, don't do it. And the reason He said don't do it, they will turn your heart away after other gods. How many knows God knows what He's talking about? Yeah. That's exactly what happened. But woman, if you're in an abusive situation where that guy has beaten you, leave that guy. Yeah. If he's run off and left you to take care of the kids, you divorce that guy. God will send you somebody that will take care of him. Now you have to listen to God even as I say that. But I am telling you, yes, God hates divorce, but it's not the unpardonable sin either. Okay? Hallelujah. I thank God. I thank God that He loves us enough. But this practice, I'm just putting her away because I want that one. Marriage was instituted by God. The family unit is what this, not just in America, this is going on around the world. Hang on, he's shifting gears a little bit. I don't have any choice. Wait just a minute. Just pray in the Spirit with me for a moment. This is believers' meeting anyway. Alright, now let's go. That's what it is. I've got to go back to Psalms 11. Okay? See, verse 3 is the one we started off with. But let's start at the beginning now. Now, this is David writing this. All kinds of persecution's been coming against him. In the Lord put I my trust. How say you to my soul? Flee as a bird to your mountain. I'll stop right now. Worldwide, that spirit that's working towards a global, trying to make a global world, a one world government, it's saying to every Christian on earth, sit down and shut up. You better fly away. We're coming after you. Don't think they're not. Verse 2, For lo, the wicked bend their bow. They make ready their arrow upon the string. Who they're shooting at? That they may privately shoot at the upright in heart. He's talking about you, Christian. They're coming after you. And that's when he says that the foundations be destroyed. What can the righteous do? Now again, I'm not going to get political, but I've seen it with my own eyes in this country where certain politicians have suggested that Christian children need to be removed from the Christian parents so they can be programmed. I got another witness that heard the same thing. Don't tell me they're not coming after you. They're coming after you. They're coming after the family unit. That's what all this is about. If they can destroy the family unit, they can destroy the civilization. Remember all those statues that's being torn down all over the country? That's directly out of the Karl Marx handbook. I wrote down one of, you know, I like to keep those quotes. This is Karl Marx. The first battlefield is the rewriting of history. He's talking about any nation. The first battlefield is the rewriting of history. If you can keep people from their history, they are easily controlled. Now, the counter to that is, I'm going to quote John Adams, second president of the United States. Our Constitution was made only for a moral and religious people. It is wholly inadequate to the government of any other. Mario Murillo, I wish I would have said this. He's the king of one-liners. I love Mario. He's having fantastic results in California and New York and these tent revivals. People turning out by the thousands in the pouring rain, and the tent will only hold like 3,000 or something, and the rest of them are standing out in the rain, and they're standing out in the rain to get saved. But I heard Mario Murillo said this. He said, the reason America, and again, I'm not trying to be political, but the reason America is in the mess that it is in, we, the church, did not get enough people saved. Now, that's the exact truth. And the nation has become, as John Adams said, a non-religious, the way the nation as a whole has become an immoral and irreligious. And that's exactly the plan of the enemy, because it'll eventually wind up with the overthrow of the government and we'll become something else. All right, enough of that. Now, Psalms 11. We were reading that. If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? Now, I'm going to read this in the King James, but now this one I'm going to read out of the New Living Testament also in a minute. Verse 3 again. If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? Now, this is really answering the question. How did he start it off? What do the righteous do? in the Lord I put my trust. So now he's returning to that, and he says, the Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven, and his eyes behold, his eyelids try the children of men. The Lord trieth the righteous, but the wicked and him that loveth violence, his soul hateth. That's in your Bible. Upon the wicked he shall rain snares, fire and brimstone, and a horrible tempest. This shall be the portion of their cup. For the righteous Lord loveth righteousness. His countenance does behold the upright. Raise your hand upright. You that love truth, refuse to believe a lie. He told Sue and I years ago, he says, I am the spirit of truth. I only bring truth. I have no other commodities on the shelf to bring you. And once I'll bring it to you many different ways till I see you understand it. But once you understand truth, if you reject it, you will believe a lie. And boy, that's our whole country. Or a big part of it. Now let me read you the same. Did I finish? Yes. Let me read you the same thing. This is actually out of the Passion Translation. They don't know what Paul's thorn is either, by the way. First thing I do when somebody says, what about this translation? I just turn to Paul's thorn and see what they say about it. And if they don't know what it is, I'm going, I wouldn't trust it. But that doesn't mean every now and then they don't get something right. This one they got right. So I'm going to read it to you out of the Passion Translation. For the pure and shining one, by King David. Lord, don't you hear what my well-meaning friends keep saying to me? You better run away while you can. Fly away like a bird to hide in the mountains for safety. For your enemies have prepared a trap for you. They plan to destroy you with their slander and deceitful lies. Can't you see them hiding in their places of darkness and shadows? They're set against you and all those who live upright lives. But don't they know, Lord, that I have made you my only hiding place? Don't they know that I always trust in you? Here's verse 3. What can the righteous accomplish when truth's pillars are destroyed and law and order collapse? Here's the answer. Yet the Eternal One is never shaken. He is still found in his temple of holiness, reigning as Lord and King over all. He is closely watching everything that happens, and with a glance, his eyes examine every heart, for his heavenly rule will prevail over all. He will test both the righteous and the wicked, exposing each heart. Have y'all ever heard of a wall of fire? A time of purging? God's very soul detests those who love to resort to violence. He will rain down upon them judgment for their sins. A scorching wind will be their portion and lot in life. But remember this. This is the last verse. Remember this. The righteous Lord loves what is right and just. And every godly one will come into his presence and gaze into his face. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. See, we got to be set on the rock. I don't care if the whole world. They're trying to destroy the foundation. And again, the reason it's not political, it's worldwide. It just, politics is one of the tools. Our colleges and institutions is another one of the tools. The rewriting of our history is another one of the tools. They're doing everything from the Karl Marx handbook, trying in this country to turn us to socialism. But worldwide, it's trying to turn us to a one world government. But isn't it amazing how much truth the Lord can say in three verses? Three verses we find out, oh, you're either a man or you're a woman. You've been that way since birth. I don't know what I am. At home, stripped down, and look down. That's what you are. That's what I'm telling you, that's what you are. That's what the Bible says. He made them male and female with no more letters after that. Now, you might need counseling. I love it. Simple. It's the simple, pure truth. And Jesus, they tried to trip him up. He just went back to the foundation. We love everybody. If you're struggling with those things, the Word of God has got so much help for you. People say, I was just born this way. No, you weren't. I got to be careful. No, you weren't. No. I've actually had pedophiles tell me. They actually, in a way, they're blaming God. I was born this way. I can't help it. That's a lie. Or else God, see, if you're born that way, God wouldn't call it sin. Isn't that right? If you couldn't help it, God wouldn't call it sin. See, here's the truth. You don't get to decide what sin is. I don't get to decide what sin is. God tells us what sin is. And your job is to conform to the truth. That's just how it just doesn't get any more simple than that. Now, I don't know if he's going to have me do more lessons along this line. Golly. Last time I taught this, I was rebuked. Not in a horrible, like they didn't egg my house or anything, but by someone I'd known a long time. He did it gently, but it was absolutely you were wrong about this, and I'm not wrong about it either. Okay, go to Romans 1. Because what I was teaching along this line, and I said, that you do know that originally God just made Adam. There was no female. And we always have taken it to mean, when he said, it's not good that the man should be alone, we've always just taken that to mean that he was lonely. No. What he's really saying there, I want more than one. It's not good that there just be one. I want a world full of people, children, godly seed that I can bring to heaven. It's not good that there be just one. I will make a helpmeet for him to produce more than one. So there won't be just one. It's so simple. So out of the man, he takes a rib, and that really in the Hebrew is, Dave went through all that. Rib can be translated chromosome, if I remember correctly. Rib can be translated chromosome. He took something out of the DNA of man, and then with his creative power, he took and made it an XX instead of an XY. Got that? And then he tells us why. Why did I do it? Why did I? I could have made man and woman any way I wanted to. Why did I make them? In case there's kids watching, so that their parts fit together in such a way that when they come together and become one, the end result is children. That's why I did it. And I want them raised godly, by the way. How simple is that? But people don't want to hold on to that truth because they want to do what they want to do. Paul described them perfectly here in Romans chapter 1. He says, verse 18, starting there, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and righteousness of men. Now notice, who hold the truth in unrighteousness. What in the world does that mean? Is the truth righteous? Sure it is. What does it mean they hold the truth in unrighteousness? That means they know what it is. But they're going to do the opposite anyway. I know what your word says. But I'm going to commit unrighteousness anyhow. Then he says, verse 19, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto him. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Now, because Paul ends this with sexual perversion, this passage, you know where it ends. He is not changing the subject here. He's saying what I just said. You can tell from creation how God made man and God made woman. And even if he didn't give you a manual, you can look at the parts and pretty easily figure it out. This is God's plan. This is God's purpose. He made a female to go with the male so they can together create children. How simple is that? And he doesn't want them hopping around, you know. Man and wife, not man and girlfriend, not man and live-in girlfriend, not man and man, not woman and woman. He talks about that here in a minute. None of that. All sex outside of marriage is sin, period. That's what he means. They're without excuse. You could look at a man and woman and tell what God's plan is. Verse 21. Because that when they knew God, he just got through saying they know the truth, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful. They became vain in their imaginations, their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible men and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up, since they chose to reject his word, God gave them up to uncleanness through the what? Through the lusts of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. How did they do it? Who changed the truth of God into a lie. Again, you can look at a man and woman, how they're made, even without scripture. You have no excuse. It's pretty obvious why God made male and female. But they changed the truth of that into a lie and worshiped and served the creature, that's their own bodies, more than the Creator who is blessed forever. Amen. Verse 26, for this cause. Now, if you don't have that underlined, you ought to underline it. Because they knew the truth, but they chose to reject it and believe a lie, for that cause God gave them up unto what he calls vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. That's women and women. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, that there's no excuse. You can plainly look and see how God made man and woman. And he told us in his word he did it so we'd have children. It's pretty easy to understand. But likewise also the men, having the natural use of the leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust. Same word again, lust. One toward another. Men with men. Working that which is unseemly and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error, which was meat. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge. Now, they didn't want to retain it. Doesn't mean they didn't know it. He said earlier they knew it. Even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, which he just listed up there. And all of these other things, they're filled with unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness. That's us plain old greedy. Maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, hater of gods, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, they not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Now this is the part that I was rebuked over. I said, if we're going to go by that standard where God says you can look at a male and a female, you can look at how God made them, and you can figure this out pretty quick, what the parts are for. Even the marriage bed, I'm telling you. God sees some of the stuff that goes on, parts going in places that God never intended to go. Boy, quiet in here. God's going, what purpose is that? I really don't want to be too graphic. Sometimes we may have to have it a banner on some teaching, adults only, you know, because I never know. We got people that watch this with their children on TV, big screen around the world. I got to be careful. But you understand what I'm saying? Let me say this. Pretty much all of America, pretty much everybody, is probably guilty of that. It's not the unpardonable sin either. But it's not part of God's purpose. It's not why He... Yes, sir. One morning, Sue, go start the car, baby. I want out of here quick today. I really don't want to hurt any children, though. So, you know, you just got to be careful. But it's pleasurable. That's a bonus. How many are glad that He made that marriage act pleasurable? See, part of that is God's smart. He said, they're going to enjoy this. I'm going to have a lot of kids. One time we had a young man, this must be 40 years ago maybe, nice young man from Mexico that would come up during the summer months and work with us there. And as far as I know, he did everything legally. And he was a hard worker, by the way. We loved him. You could lay your wallet there and trust him, keep it 3 days, it wouldn't be a dollar missing, you know. But he always drove a poor car, you know, and you could tell his clothes weren't... But he was making pretty good money. And we're asking him, well, what do you do with the money that you make? He said, oh, I have to send that home to the family. I said, well, your family? Yeah. He's married. He says, my family need a lot of money. I'm not trying to just remember him. We loved him. My family need a lot of money because every spring, along with the flowers, comes the baby. Well, they're doing it right. They're using the parts the way God intended the parts. Just to do things for pleasure, I'm not saying it'll send you to hell or anything, but that's just not God's best. Remember that part of the prophecy where he said, let me find it again. I think it's this one. You shall enter into my rooms where I shall fellowship with you and your soul. I want to back up. This one's so short. Let me just read it again. This one is, your mind will bow to my knowledge. Came forward August 22nd. Your mind will bow to my knowledge. He said, I am moving you from knowledge to power, says the Lord. I'm moving you from theory to reality, says the Lord. I'm moving you from an earthly understanding of divine things to a divine understanding of earthly things. Now, that's what I wanted to get at. I can't seem to help it right now. Everywhere I read in the Bible, this was my purpose. This was my purpose. This is why I made man and woman this way. This is why I gave you taste buds. Did you ever notice lions have no cookbooks? Did you ever notice monkeys don't share recipes? Squirrels don't make Christmas pies with the nuts that they gather? Only mankind does that. Why? He gave us taste buds. He lifted us up above the realm of the animals. I think God's pleased when we enjoy His food. Y'all heard the story about the potato, right? I'll tell you one thing about fasting, the kind where you stay hungry for days and days, where you never get past that fourth day, and you're hungry, hungry, hungry. And I'd been at it for, I don't know, roughly a week. 24 hours, 36 hours, 48 hours, back to it. Never long enough to go into ketosis. Hungry, hungry, hungry. Then I cooked that little russet baked potato. It wasn't even one of those big, nice baked... It wasn't. It's just one of those little... You get them $3 for a 5-pound bag, sometimes $2 for a five... No, that kind. I cooked that thing, got it out, put it on a plate. I just sliced it up. I've been hungry. Fasting will humble your body. Fasting will humble your body. And I just sliced it. I'm starting to put the salt and pepper in that aroma. I teared up. Oh, God. I am so thankful I'm able to eat this little potato, Lord. Thank you, thank you, thank you for my potato. This is a great potato. Thank you. And I remember Dave teaching, if you got one can of Beanie Weenies, you ought to just bow down and give God glory. Really? I understood it. Fasting will humble your flesh, I'm telling you. It will humble your flesh. You'll become thankful for a potato. Hallelujah. Well, the last time I taught it and I went into that part about even the marriage bed, you got to be careful. You sure God's approving of all that? You sure that's why he made all the parts? You sure? Boy, people didn't like that. My job's that, I'm not saying it's, I don't even know whether, I'm just putting it out there for you. Think about that. Is that the purpose of God? Is that why he made you? Okay. Father, I thank you for this message today. And I really thank you that it's over, God. I thank you. I don't know what's coming, but I can't get away from it now. It's like after these words now had come forward in my meditation and in my praying, I see his purpose. I'm seeing things from heaven's point of view. Why? Why did I do it that way? Why did I make it that way? And why are these people acting that way? He said we're going to start thinking that way. One of the scary ones that he said to Tim, even commented on this one. If you get a comment out of Tim, you preach good, I'm telling you. He says, because the Lord said, I'm going to start treating you as adults, talking with you like adults. Tim went, ooh, wow, we better get ready. All of those may not be the most pleasant conversation we ever had. It's one thing, your little baby make a poopy diaper. It's the cutest little baby. Look at my baby. About, what is it, a week he put smell in the poop? First there's no smell, but then Vince, whoa. Mama, the baby made dirty. Come do something about this. But we love our babies. We don't care that they poop their pants. But hope to God we're not pooping our pants as adults. But I'm afraid many of us are still more than we realize. All right, I'm going to close for today. Listen, foundations. I know it's going to happen. I know it's going to happen. There's going to be a world, one world government. The Bible tells us so. That doesn't mean we're not supposed to stay on the rock. We are supposed to be the light in the midst of the darkness. And as everything gets darker and darker, the light in you will shine brighter and brighter. And you need to study and show yourself approved with the Word of God so you can give an answer to people that have questions. Because most of them have no foundation in the Word of God at all. Just to be honest. Father, I thank you in Jesus' name for this message. I thank you that we are standing on the rock of Jesus' sayings, Lord. We do bow to wholesome words, the teachings of our Lord Jesus Christ. We stand firm on the apostles' doctrine, whom you instructed, go and teach the whole world everything I taught you. Father, we stand on that. On the solid rock we stand. All other ground is sinking sand. We love you, Lord. Father, we thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.